In the scriptures for this weekend, we hear how important a touch can be, how a touch created this whole entire universe and ourselves, how a touch can heal people, and how touch can help us grow and develop. In the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, it says, "For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of this world are all wholesome. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him." Here, the first reading reminds us of how powerful God's touch is. It recalls creation in Genesis, specifically Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, in which God, with his own hands, he takes clay from the ground and he forms Adam into his own image. And immediately, humanity comes alive. Well, medical science is also learning about how powerful a simple touch can be, how it helps us to heal, recover, and strengthen us. When I was at Mundelein Seminary studying to be a priest, I got to know a couple that was involved with touch therapy. One or two nights a week, they would go down to Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago. They would make their way to the neonatal intensive care unit. There, nurses would direct them to premature babies that had no family, in fact, no interaction at all. No one was there to cradle them, hold them, or touch them. For many reasons, maybe the mother was incarcerated, maybe the family abandoned the child, it didn't make a difference. And so this couple would go to these babies, and they would begin to gently touch these children. First, they would gently stroke their cheeks and the forehead and the back of their head. Then they would gently stroke their arms and their hands. Then they would massage the baby's back and their legs and their feet, all the while, again, gently touching this child, cradling them in their arms. Now, this couple took the second shift. They went in the evening, but this happened 24 hours a day. People came in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, even in the middle of the night, to hold these children, cradle them, touch them. Now, why was touch so powerful for these children? Why was it so necessary? Well, understand, the very first months of our life, we're in the womb of our mother. And we are in close quarters, aren't we? We're almost swaddled in our mother's womb. And yet when we grow and develop as a baby, we kind of bump up against the sides of our mother's womb. And when we feel that physical touch, babies feel secure in their mother's womb. Well, now medical research supports that there are positive effects about how touch helps babies develop and grow. When a child is picked up and cradled, you know, and gently stroked, then the child is able to gain weight better. It's able to sleep, and their immune system is improved. In that gentle stroke, in that gentle touch of that child, something is triggered within that child that helps them to grow and develop. Well, you say, well, how can that be? Well, I'll give you a couple reasons on how that happens. When a child is cradled in somebody's arms, when it is gently, you know, touched and stroked, it stimulates nerves in the brain that facilitate food absorption. And therefore, premature babies are able to gain weight far faster than those babies that are neglected. Another reason why or how babies benefit, when a baby, again, is cradled in somebody's arms and is touched, it lowers their level of stress hormones, and therefore it immediately boosts their immune system. See, these are just a few things that the medical research is learning about the touch therapy and why it is so important for newborn babies, especially premature babies. That's why a simple touch can help these babies to heal and grow and develop. Now, take that and apply it to the gospel. In the gospel, we have two stories combined. Here, Jesus is in some ways applying his own touch therapy. He is touching people and they are cured. And yet, what's it all based upon or predicated on? faith. These people first must have faith, and they do. Because they have faith, now they believe and are cured. Notice how the gospel begins. It says, "One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with Jesus, saying, 'My daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live.'" The second person, the woman with a hemorrhage. It says, "There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet she was not helped, but grew worse. She heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, 'If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured.'" Well, both of these people have faith. That's why they go immediately to Jesus. They know and they believe that Jesus can cure them of their illnesses. And so the woman reaches out and she touches Jesus' clothes, and she is immediately healed. Now notice Jesus' reaction. It says, "Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who has touched my clothes?'" Now imagine this. Jesus is surrounded by this huge crowd. They're kind of jostling him back and forth. You know, we too have probably had this experience ourselves. You know, in large crowds, maybe at a ballpark, maybe at Summerfest, the state fair. We're in large crowds and we just kind of get jolted around. But notice, the apostles don't even understand what's going on. It says, "The disciples said to Jesus, 'You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, who touched me?'" They don't understand what's going on. But Jesus is persistent. It says he looked around to see who had done it. Why? Why is Jesus so insistent upon seeing who touched him? You know, this crowd is inadvertently bumping him around, just like all crowds do. But why does he persist? Well, we'll find the reason why. It says, "She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction.'" That's it. That's the reason why. This woman now kneels before Jesus and also his apostles. The apostles are standing right next to Jesus, so they see this woman too. Why is this so important? Well, Jesus declares that her faith has saved her. It's a powerful lesson that he's trying to teach his apostles. Remember the story. Just before this gospel story, there's that classic story of Jesus and his apostles in the boat. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. All of a sudden, a storm kicks up. The apostles are terrified. They wake Jesus up and they say, "Lord, do you care that we are about to perish?" Jesus immediately stands up and he calms everything. And then he looks at his apostles and he says, "Do you not have faith yet?" Almost in frustration. Well, now this woman is kneeling before all of them. And now he points to her and he tells his apostles, there, that's what genuine and authentic faith looks like. It's a powerful teaching moment for the apostles. Now realize, this story began with faith, with the woman convinced that Jesus could heal her, and it ends with faith. Jesus complimenting her in front of his own apostles. Now the story continues. Jesus makes his way to Jairus' house. And upon coming to the house, they receive news that his daughter has died. And yet, what does Jesus say to him? "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." That's powerful. Now stop right there. Mark is a masterful author. He brings together these two stories, the woman with the hemorrhage and this child that is sick. There's so many things that are in common here. One, it's both about women. Two, they're both ill. Three, they have faith, and their faith will cure them. But take it to a deeper spiritual level. What is Mark really doing? He does a masterful job of comparing and contrasting people with faith versus people who don't have faith, or whose faith is tenuous at best. The first story, the woman with the hemorrhage, she does have faith. She knows that she can be cured by Jesus, and she is. And Jesus compliments her faith. And yet, the apostles, their faith is tenuous at best. That's why Jesus points her out and says, hey, if you want to look at faith, it's right there. It's genuine and sincere. The second story, Jairus, you know, he has faith. And yet the people in the house that are wailing and weeping, they don't have faith. That's why when Jesus comes in, he says, you know, why this wailing? The child is asleep, not dead. And what does it say? It says they ridiculed him. They made fun of Christ. They criticized him. That's why Jesus sends them all out of the house. People who don't have faith aren't able to accept or believe in his miracles. That's why he takes just the parents and Peter, James, and John into the room with the little girl. And what does he do? It says, he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talith kuam, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. Well, with that simple touch, Jesus heals this girl. With that one simple touch, again, Christ heals. But he heals because they had faith. Jesus Christ touches us many, many times throughout our life in many different ways. I'll give you just one example, the sacraments. In the sacraments, Jesus reaches out and he touches us. Take the sacrament of reconciliation, for example, confession. We go to confession to confess our sins. First, it's predicated or based upon the fact that we believe that God can forgive our sins. And so we go. We go and we confess our sins. Why? Because we know the effects of sin. Sin makes us sick, regardless of what the sin is. Greed, pride, envy, avarice, jealousy, hatred, whatever it is, our sin makes us sick. And so God, in the sacrament of reconciliation, reaches out and he touches us, our soul, and he forgives our sins. And in doing so, with that touch, we are healed. How about Mass, the Eucharist? You know, we come at Mass, but we come with faith. You know, if we didn't have faith, we wouldn't be coming to Mass. But instead, we come to Mass, you know, every weekend or every day because we have faith. And at the Mass, we come forward and we receive the Eucharist. You know, and in that action, we, like that woman with the hemorrhages, we extend our hand. And now we touch Christ. We touch the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, the most concrete encounter we'll ever have with our Lord in this world. And in doing so, we are healed and we are strengthened to now go out into the world and continue to live lives of fidelity to Christ and his teachings. Friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week. Can't afford not to. Read this gospel passage again and take it to prayer. It's a gentle reminder of how God gently touches us from the time of creation to right now. God's touch is powerful. It's gentle. It heals us. It strengthens us. It renews our faith so that we can continue to be faithful disciples of Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.